Let's continue in our discussions about Shemitah, as some of us are near and far away from Eretz Yisrael, so we're able to connect to what's going on there, to relate to some halacha lemaisa aspects. I want to talk about a very specific but a very interesting sugya that comes up related to Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. You know, there are many, many building projects that are going on right now in Eretz Yisrael. One only has to, you know, take a drive on any highway around any neighborhood, and there are cranes. Baruch Hashem, Yerushalayim, and all the cities surrounding and all the different areas of Eretz Yisrael are being built up, and it's beautiful to see all the advertisements and people looking for places to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, generally, the way these building these communities work is that you buy on paper. You buy on paper, then a few years later, they're able to go to their homes, what they call a Mesiras HaMafteach. You hand over the keys, and you get the key to your house after you buy on paper. Now, in all of these apartments and all these buildings that a person buys, so the contractor makes a promise in the contract of the sale that the purchasers of garden apartments on the ground floor, or anybody who has access to a public garden, a public green space within the apartment complex or the building area, they're entitled to a suitable yard. That's part of the contract. And it's prepared, either the ground floor gardens or the common gardens, for that building. And at the end of the work, after he does all that, and he provides that, the contractor then receives what's called a tofes arba, tofes four, a form four. And we'll talk about the form four and why that's important later on, because he can't continue in the process of building unless he gets that tofes arba. And upon completion of the construction of a new apartment or building, they issue this certificate that confirms the construction has been undertaken in accordance with the permit issued with that tofes 4. With that form 4, they're given a number 5, and it's allowed to continue to the next step. And the builders and the contractors understand that without completing the garden area, they can't get a tofes 4 in order to move forward with the contract and the building. And many projects that are going on right now in the Shemitah year, Tavshin Pei Beis, are about to be inhabited and handed over to tenants, and they're going to work on that land. They're going to work on the garden apartments, they're going to work on the public garden areas in those buildings and those construction areas, because they want to make sure they get the tofes 4, the form 4, in order to move forward with the building. And that's going to raise the issue of what to do if you have bought into a building, or you consider purchasing, or you've already bought on paper of a building in which they're going to be working the land during Shemitah going forward. So before we get to the answer, we need to take a step back and talk about this sugi in general. The Mishnah in Shvius in Perek Gimel says, "V'lo yismoch ba'afar aval osehu chayetz." And the Rishonim explain this Mishnah in different ways, but we look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Perek Mishnayos and in Hilchos Shemitah in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Aleph. So you can go and look, I gave you the link, you can go look in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Aleph. And the Rambam says that a person is not allowed to fill in a groove that's in the ground with earth, or to level the earth, because that improves the land potentially for planting. You can, says the Rambam, make a divider in front of the groove or something like that to separate it from the remains of the field. But you can't do anything to the groove itself in order to improve the land. That is what the Rambam says. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel says that if you fill a hole in the ground on Shabbos, you're chayav because of choresh, for plowing. And Rashi says, what's choresh? Choresh means that the dirt fills the hole, the dirt is soft, and it's ready for planting. It seems that you should prepare any place for planting by simply filling it with dirt. It's choresh and Shabbos, one of the 39 malachas. So the Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Shabbos regarding construction of separate levels on the side of a mountain to be planted and sowed. They have a mountain, you have the side of a hill in Eretz Yisrael, and they're making these different rows, these different levels to plant up against the mountain. So the Chazon Ish says, that's Meleches Charisha, that's plowing on its usher. The Yushalmi in the 7th parak of Shabbos says that a person who builds steps in the ground is chayv because of Choresh. And the Chazon Ish says that it's usher to remove rocks if by removing the rocks, you're going to be making the ground soft and ready to plant. You can build around the levels with rocks to hold the levels together to support the planting levels, but you can't build the levels themselves. Therefore would come out, according to the Gemara in Shabbos and the Yerushalmi and the Chazon Ish, that any action that could potentially prepare the ground for planting is considered Meleches Charisha, plowing for Shabbos and for Shemitah. That means removing rocks or weeds that are in the way, leveling the ground, filling in holds. All those things are Asur. Now, you can do the same actions if it's for the sake of building on that land, as long as it's clear that what you're doing is for building. But if you're preparing a garden area, grass, a land for people to use, and not building on it, that's a problem. For example, you're allowed to clean the garbage out of the garden if it's clear that you're cleaning garbage out of the garden. If I'm cleaning garbage out of the garden so I can then plant there, that's a problem. But if I just don't want garbage in my land, that's mutter during Shemitah, and that's according to all the Hilchos Shviyas Svarim. The Sefer Mishpatei Eretz in Hilchos Shviyas writes that if the building of the house is done, they did construction, they built an apartment area in Eretz Yisrael. Now there's garbage left over from the building. It would be usur to clear all of the construction materials from the yard if the yard is going to be prepared for gardening. If you're going to remove the construction materials, because that yard is going to be prepared for gardening, that's usur. But if my intention to remove the garden, to remove the garbage and the building materials after the building and the construction of the complex is done, is to make it safe so the building will look nice, it shouldn't be dirty looking, then that's mutter. Certainly to clear it on the surface level, but you can't really do anything to work within the ground. So this is important to know. If you have a piece of land and you're clearing it up and you're fixing it up, what are you doing it for? Are you doing it to make the garden nice and to be able to plant there and to grow grass and flowers and vegetables and things like that? Because that's usur. But if I'm clearing the land because I want it to be safe, I'm going to be building something there, I don't want it to be messy, then that's going to be okay. It depends what your intention is. The Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah in Perek Tes, towards the end of the Perek, has a long discussion. And he says that if you plant during Shemitah, so you have to uproot it. If you violate the Torah's commandment to plant, and you plant vegetables this year during the Shemitah year, and then you have thoughts of tshuva, that you felt bad that you planted, you must go into the garden and rip it out. If I plow or I fertilize during Shemitah, for preparing for after the Shemitah year, so we penalize you, says the Rambam, and it's usur to plant in that area during Shemitah. You can't hire it out to other people, anything like that. You have to leave it alone. And the Rambam says, if the owner of that land who plowed it or fertilized it dies, the son is allowed to plant there, because the penalty is on him personally, it's not on the land. If a person's removing thorns from the field during Shemitah to improve it for the following year, or to remove stones from it to improve it for the following year, even though it's usur, there's no penalty, and he can plant in that land the next year. That's all the Rambam says. So based on this Rambam, Rav Nissen Karelson the Chushani and Rav Uzner and the Shevet HaLevi explain that according to the Rambam, the penalty of not being allowed to plant on Motzei Shvius, meaning if I do something I'm not supposed to do in my garden this year in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a penalty now for next year, those are only for melachos, for actions that prep the land for planting, plowing, things like that. But if I remove thorns this year from my garden, or I remove rocks this year from my garden, it's not a preparation, really. It's more of a, what we call in Hebrew, a siluk hamonea. I'm simply removing something that's in the way. The rock is keeping the plants from growing. The thorns are keeping the plants from growing. I'm not working the land. I'm just removing something that's stopping the land. There's no penalty in that case. The Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Shviyas that if others work my field without my knowledge, somebody goes into my land and they prep my garden, so then I'm not going to get penalized. But if I know what's going on, somebody comes into my field during Shemitah, someone comes into my land, and they start putting a garden together, and they start planting seeds, and they start clearing things out, then it's like the work. It's like I did the work myself, because I knew what was going on, and I didn't stop them. And that's important to keep in mind. The Rambam also writes in the beginning of Hilchos Shviyas in Perek Aleph, in Halacha Yud Beis, that when a person plants crops during Shemitah year, whether it's b'shogeg by accident or b'ratzon on purpose, meaning I didn't know I couldn't or something like that, then I have to pull them out if I plant something I shouldn't have. Because Jews are choshed on Shviyas. Chazal are so nervous that the Jewish people are not going to keep Shemitah that if I would allow the person to keep what I planted by accident, then the person is just going to say, oh, I didn't mean to plant that. That was a mistake. Sorry about that. We'll leave my tomato plants in. when clearly he probably did it on purpose and he's just making up that he did it by accident. We don't trust the Jews when it comes to Shemitah. The Ridbaz writes in his commentary on the Peis HaShulchan that according to the Rambam, even if I plow my field by accident, we penalize me, and you cannot, and I cannot plant Motzei Shvius, but according to Rashi, it would be Mutter. That's how he understands this. So the Rambam then says in Hilchos Shemitah Perach Ches Halacha Ches that if a guy does Melacha Sada, if let's say a non-Jew works my land during Shemitah, there's no penalty at all, and it's Mutter to plant in that field. And the Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Shvius that if a guy plants a tree in the field of a Jew, it doesn't have to be uprooted. And the Shevet HaLevi says that if a Jew commands the guy to plow the field, we do penalize the Jew. If you give a direct command, then we do penalize the Jew, and you cannot plant there the next year after Shemitah. There's a greater chashash, says Rav Vosner, that a Jew will ask a guy to do this for him. He's going to go and ask a guy, the guy's going to do it, and the Jew's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, a guy did it, it's not my fault. We find the penalty, it needs to be significant in these cases, okay? And therefore going to be machmer. So those are the rules. Essentially, the rules are, you can't plant during Shemitah, and if you do, you got to rip it out. And if it's not something you can rip out, in a lot of cases, you can't use the land for the next year. So what exactly define the next year? So I plant a tree, it has to be uprooted. So there's no time limit on how long that tree can stay there for it to be uprooted. Meaning if I plant a tree in my yard in Eretz Yisrael, in Tufshin Pei Beis, and then 10 years from now, I have do tshuva, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I planted a tree during Shemitah, I'm so sorry. Then 10 years from now, I've got to uproot that tree. It doesn't run out. But if I plow a field in this year, Tufshin Pei Beis, so it can't be used Motzei Shvius. But what does that mean, I can't plant in the field, Motzei Shvius? So again, going back to our case, I am a contractor. I'm mandated by the law to provide a garden area for the people in my apartment complex or my building area. And I go and I plow land. I plow a field in order to be able to grow grass there. So then all of a sudden, I do tshuva and I feel bad. How long is it that I have to wait till I plant that field? So Rav Vosner writes in his Shirim on Shemitah that for the entire 8th year, it's usher to plant in that field. And he cites a comment of the Toras Gittin in Maseches Gittin Daf Mem Daled, who says that Tosus understands that if I fertilize a field, you can't plant the whole 8th year. The whole 8th year it has to be remain untouched. And we don't know how much your prohibited fertilizing, plowing, whatever you did, impacted the field. So we treat the whole 8th year as Asra. Other poskim, this is brought in the journal, the Halichos Sada in Gilyon 159, cited Nod of Yehuda, and other poskim who say that it could be it just the period of planting, the season, meaning if I would usually plant in from this time to this time, so that period I can't plant in that time, and it depends on the planting that's going to be beneficial. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach says it's unclear, he leaves at Sarachian, but for some significant amount of time. So, now that we have been caught up to date on the halachos including that we can't prep the land in any way for possible planting in the future. It depends on what you're doing to be considered prepping the land, whether it's for just for cleaning up or for prepping the land to plant. The penalty of having to rip out what you plant and not use the land afterwards. So now let's come back to our discussion about building projects in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah. So again, to review, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, they are building all over the place. You can turn, you know, north, south, east, west, you'll see a crane somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem. But in every building project, they need to produce greenery and grass areas for people to have, either on a ground floor apartment or a communal area. You need that in order to get this tofes 4, this form, number 4, in order to continue with the contract. According to Rav Yashiv, according to Rav Yosef Lieberman in his Chuvas Mishnah Yosef Chelik Yud Beis, according to the Halichos Sada in Journal 186, it is usur for a contractor to work on the garden in order to get his tofes 4 form. It's usur. You can't. You're preparing the ground. Yes, you need to finish your building. That's very nice. But it's Shemitah. You can't work the ground and make a garden during Shemitah. It's certainly usur to actively plant and work the garden areas. And it is incumbent, they say, on the purchasers who bought on paper to protest to the contractor, who is not yet, obviously, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, to not do Malachas Asuros during Shemitah, not do prohibited activities, because they are causing Chilul Shemitah, violation of Shemitah. Especially on the part of the Chiyuv of protesting, of Arvos, that you are part of that business deal you bought on paper. That's your building that you're buying into. Most of the contractors are the purchasers, shaliach. The contractors who are building are your messengers, and they're working for you. They have to say something. It's no different, they say, than a contractor who continues to build on Shabbos for the buyers. If you have a contractor who's building your house on Shabbos, you would say something. You would protest. So if you have a contractor who's building and working, preparing a garden for you during Shemitah, you have to say something. Surely all the buyers who are bought on paper of those buildings are chayv to protest that he's not going to desecrate Shabbos on their behalf. The purchasers have to notify the contractor that they can't do Malachas Asuros during Shemitah, and the request, and he has to request that he only do one of the mutter things that we discussed before. And the issue of proprietary ownership of the property, depending on the specific contract, you know, the purchase of an apartment from a contractor, price per occupant, the group purchases, private homes, all the different things that can come out, each person has to know. And if the land is owned by the buyer, you have to protest in some way and say, don't work the land that I've bought into on paper during Shemitah. And if you're not a complete owner of the land, the chiyuv to detain the contractor from Malachas Asuros during Shemitah still stands to try to stop him, at least to do whatever you can. Now, there is a longer, much more complicated issue regarding who owns the building during the building process. Who has ownership over the building if I haven't gotten in yet? If someone buys on paper, do you have a kinyan? Did I make an acquisition according to halacha on the apartment before it's actually built? The apartment doesn't exist yet. It's only on paper. Does it matter if I pay everything up front, if I'm going to pay everything in parts, only partially? That may impact as well. There happens to be a fascinating discussion on the side regarding ribis, regarding interest. If the person buys on paper, if you buy something on paper, you buy an apartment in Israel on paper, and you get a discount for an early bird special. I bought early, so we'll give you a 5% discount on the thing you bought on paper. So it could be there's a serious issue of ribis, of interest, because he's giving you something, a lower value than you're getting in return. According to the Bris Yehud of Yaakov Bloy and the Baal Nesivos in the Siva Shalom, one doesn't acquire the apartment until they move into it. And other posts discuss as well when exactly they have ownership and when it would be ribis or not in this case. But let's kind of wrap this up and let's talk about what can the contractor do? What can the Jewish buyer of a land in Israel who has an apartment being built and land being worked, perhaps for their garden during Shemitah, do? So there are really three options. The three options are: speed up the building process before Shemitah starts. Should have thought that before. Now it's a little bit late. It's Tufshin Pei Beis, but you should have sped it up the process. You knew Shemitah was coming to make sure those garden apartments and those public gardens are prepped. According to the planning and building laws, so the local authority, the municipality, the local council, whatever it is, will not grant the contractor occupancy permit and this TOFES for this documentation, as well as a permit to collect, to connect electricity, water, telephone, prior to the completion of work on the land. The gardening aspect has to be done first. So some people claim that people who know the official procedures of the municipalities in those communities that are being built, that from the local authority's point of view, the contractor can promise that within 1 year from the occupancy, I'll return and I'll finish the garden and the land work. Then he'll get an occupancy permit and a TOFES 4, and he'll be issued for that building, even without the actual completion of the development. You can actually get something like that in writing where you sign and agree that I'll move in right now, and after Shemitah is done, he'll come back and finish up the garden. Now, you're likely that you could be taking risk with that because there's a chance the contractor might never come back. So you have to take that risk if you do that, but that's an option that people can do is say, fine, give me the apartment, I'll forego on the land work, and then we'll get back to it after Shemitah. A practical solution, this is number three, that can be accepted as well. So the contractor can get a tofes for without preparing the garden for sowing and planting, is that he'll level the soil, remove the stones, dispose of any garbage from the construction, and then they'll put on top of that land material that's not suitable for sowing the land, for working the land. They'll cover it with gravel, or some sort of like, they'll like, or interlocking stone, some sort of, you know, they'll put some sort of nice covering over it with rocks, maybe synthetic grass, like turf, something like that, in order to prevent marasain. So it's clear that this is not being worked, and the said materials will be in place at all times during the work, and then after Shemitah, they'll come back and do it. I mean, you'll have a completed area, not that it's being laid a fallow with nothing being done to it, but you'll put like some fake stuff on top of it, and then afterwards you'll come back and finish up afterwards as well. Now, the last question is, do the buyers have a penalty? So you have this apartment you bought on paper, they're working the land during Shemitah, so what do? So it would seem that according to most posts, it would be usher for the purchasers to use and plant in such land during that was planted and worked during Shemitah. In the following year, there would be a penalty. If they protest, they didn't listen, maybe they shouldn't be penalized as well, but this is something that can come up as well in this discussion. So that's just another practical issue of Shemitah that's going on right now in Eretz Yisrael. I guess you can ask, you can make your friends and family uncomfortable and ask them if they have any building projects going on, and if anybody is working the land for them, so they can get their final documentation and put them in an uncomfortable situation, and see if they're keeping Shemitah all the way here in America as well.